Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, open our hearts this day to see your heart and to be transformed by it. We love you. Amen. Please be seated. I was asking myself the question over the last several weeks as I knew this sermon on global mission as a part of our strategy of hospitality, discipleship, and mission was coming about. And I was asking myself the question, where did my passion for global mission come from? I don't know. I'm really not sure. Now, I know that that passion was instrumental in the meeting between Marilyn and I. It really was the beginning of our relationship as I begged her to bring her pictures and tell me about Madagascar. But the love for global mission had already existed in my heart at that time. I remember having a debate with my brother Jack, who thought of Mexico as a communist country, and we were playing a smash ball, hitting this ball back and forth in the park, and he said, "I wouldn't go to Mexico if it was the last place on earth." And within a year, he was driving every month, delivering food to the orphanages in Mexico, as God transformed his heart for the people there. And I had many opportunities to be involved in mission to Mexico, as I know a good number of people here at St. Timothy's have been involved in mission to Mexico. But why? Why this heart for those in different lands and different places? Well, again, our strategy has these three center points. And by the way, don't get confused by that, and you'll see that at the end of the sermon. Don't think it's just these three things. It's also how these three things intersect. But it's hospitality, discipleship, as Joe brilliantly articulated last week, and mission, both local and global. And so let's ask some questions about where that comes from and where that intersection happens. Because at the intersection between hospitality and discipleship is fellowship. And at the intersection between discipleship and mission is service. And at the intersection between mission and hospitality is evangelism. And all of them combine to lead us to that heart of God in the heart of the believer in worship. And so it all works together. But it's interesting because I got on the internet and I did something I haven't done before. I typed in hospitality, discipleship, and mission just to see what the internet would do with it. And I was shocked to discover that it said hospitality really is the driving force for discipleship. And discipleship is really the driving force for mission. And you really can't do mission if you don't do hospitality. And it continued to spiral around, and I thought, well, somehow I got that right. I don't know where that came from. But where did it come from? I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to lead the Bible study for the LCMC National Gathering. And I was told months ahead of time that I was supposed to preach on God or teach on God's covenant with Abraham. And so I literally spent months looking at God's covenant with Abraham. And I saw the calling of Abraham and the covenant that God promised. And then I saw that God repeated the calling to Abraham. He reinforced it as later he repeated that covenant to make sure that it would not be forgotten. And then I discovered that the same covenant also was extended and repeated again to his ancestors. And so when we ask the question, you know, why does God have this chosen covenant special relationship in the Old Testament with the people of Israel? At the heart of that covenant is the reminder that the people of Israel are being chosen and blessed so that through them all the nations of the world would be blessed. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it reveals the heart of God for all of his creation, for all people. It's not that the people of Israel or Christians are special, that God sort of loves us more. Rather, we are chosen and blessed and equipped so that we can extend and show in tangible ways the love of God for others. I was thinking about global mission and the various places in the world where we've had the opportunity to travel and meet people and support mission. And I was mindful, Joe's preaching next week on local mission, but gosh, we live here. There's such a melting pot of the nations right here, especially when you understand that the word nations in the Bible is often the same word for Gentiles, meaning everybody who's not a Jew. The peoples. Peoples meaning the various people groups that exist. God's heart is to bless us, to be a blessing to them. That is, to reveal to them his heart. We see that heart also in the common and oft memorized verse from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. Now here's the problem. I don't know about you, but do you think of yourself as the world? And when you preach that, when you share that memorized verse to someone who doesn't know Jesus and you said, for God so loved the world, do they think of themselves as the world? It's almost as though we have to translate it and we have to say, God so loves you that if you believe in him, he gives you eternal life. We've got to personalize, we've got to crystallize that message. And a part of what evangelism, a part of what mission is to put flesh on the message, to connect it to our lives. Jesus said in Luke's version of the Great Commission that he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Well, why is that? Because, by the way, that's the verse that I just wish I could have been there. I would so have liked him to open up my mind to understand all of the scriptures. Oh, boy, would that be something. The scriptures are the place that God reveals himself. In the reading of the scriptures, we learn the voice of God. We discover the heart of God. Instead of imagining what we think God is like or what we think God should be like, we discover the truth of God as he reveals himself in the scripture through his people. And then he says, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to everyone. Listen, hear that, all nations, hear this. It's really everyone else. He's telling his followers, he's telling the disciples, everyone else. Meaning no one outside of your group is left out. It's really so that your group recognizes its calling to everyone else. Now that everyone else may be a neighbor who you haven't met yet. And maybe they speak a different language or of a different nationality. Maybe they're even a different religion. Or it may be in Ethiopia or Madagascar or Tanzania. But it's the heart of God that the disciples in their calling and in their sending would be the ones through whom the truth of the Messiah would become known in the world. I grabbed this image from an artificial intelligence generator. It put together the idea that all the nations will be blessed through you, and Acts 1:8. Because you'll remember that Luke is a two-volume set. It's the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And in the Gospel of Luke, which I just read a moment ago, you had its version of the Great Commission. And then as you move into Acts, you get to Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the age. And if you understand what the book of Acts is, you discover that it's not just a statement of what will be. It's a statement of what is about to be described as you read the book of Acts. And as you see God's church actually living out that calling and that sending. But here's my problem. Here's the place I've been wrestling this week. I often feel like I don't share my faith enough. And because I often feel like I don't share my faith enough, I hear the Great Commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the age. And I hear it as a command that I fail to follow. And instead of being inspired by the Great Commission, I find myself feeling guilty. I find myself feeling stalled. I find myself feeling inadequate. I thought, why do I keep reading law into gospel? Why can I not hear clearly the grace and love of God that is so evident? It's so evident in those words. So I did something else, playing with artificial intelligence. I asked it to summarize the vision, and it was amazing. So give me a church vision that emphasizes hospitality, discipleship, and local and global mission. Listen to what AI came up with. This is pretty intriguing. To be a welcoming community that loves and serves like Jesus, equipping believers to grow in faith and reach out to our neighbors and the world with the gospel. Not bad. When I asked it about global ministries, it says, partner with global ministries to spread the gospel, support missionaries, and make a tangible impact worldwide. And brothers and sisters in Christ, St. Timothy's has been doing that for years. And I don't know if it's because they actually hired missionaries to be their pastors for a while, you know. But I got a feeling that a part of hiring you, Jim and Judy, to serve as pastors here was that they already recognized the passion for a global mission. They already saw in the ability to call you to serve here the joy and the treasure it would be to bring that perspective to the ministry of St. Timothy's. We had an opportunity to begin a relationship from my first church in Tucson with the church in Madagascar. And that church in Madagascar was founded by and now again led by a pastor who at one point was a little boy standing next to his grandmother in the village that Marilyn's father first went to as a missionary. And he grew up to be a pastor and a leader in the church and the president of the seminary. And he came to the United States to teach at Luther, where I was a student, and he became my professor in a class of Christian ethics before he went on to serve as the developmental secretary for Lutheran World Federation in Geneva for 10 years before returning back to Madagascar. And when we visited, we began a relationship to support their school for the homeless in Madagascar. But that's not the amazing thing. Here's the amazing thing. In 2009, in the fall of 2009, when my associate pastor took a call to another church, that pastor, Pastor Perry, international recognition and reputation, took a leave from his church in Madagascar and came to Tucson to serve as my associate pastor. I was awed. I was dumbfounded. And I was grateful. Because there's something we need to learn about global mission. And again, it's something you've already learned as a church at St. Timothy's. Again, thanks to the Banksons and their ministry. And that is that we have a lot to learn, not simply a lot to teach. The church globally has indeed been evangelized. There is a strong church throughout the world. They're doing a better job sending evangelists than we are. And sometimes what they do in evangelism is they come and hang out with us so that we can learn from them. And what is it that we want to learn? And what is it that we want to share? Well, listen to these words from a couple of weeks ago when Bill chose this song from With One Voice, the blue hymnal, Lord, You Give the Great Commission. Lord, You Give the Great Commission, heal the sick and preach the word, lest Your church neglects its mission and the gospel go unheard. Help us witness to Your purpose with renewed integrity. With the Spirit's gifts, empower us for the work of ministry. Help us witness to Your purpose. What is the purpose of God? To redeem the world. To restore His relationship. To bring us the forgiveness of sins through the death and resurrection of Jesus so that we can experience afresh what it means to be loved by God and members of His family. You see, the call to evangelize, the call to share the gospel is simply a calling to allow other people to see the heart of God's love for them in and through you. To recognize His love for you, to recognize His love for the world, and to recognize that our job is to let people know that God loves them. When I asked AI to create an image for hospitality, discipleship, and ministry, it gave a picture of the scripture and the table and the different ethnic groups gathered around the table, sharing life. One of the great joys two summers ago when we had the privilege of going to Ethiopia was the way the people of Ethiopia and Children's Hope Chest allowed us to share life together. To sit, to drink coffee, to eat meals, to visit across the table, to share with one another the love of Jesus that we're experiencing in our lives. And I was reminded of this verse from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another. And I remembered hearing it in song. Beloved, let us love one another, for For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. You clearly know it because you clapped at the right time. Is there a complexity to global mission? Is there a complexity to giving up your whole life to go overseas and share the gospel with others? Does that take incredible courage and incredible calling? Absolutely. But fundamentally, it really is as basic as this. Let us love one another. Or as Luther said, one beggar showing another beggar where to find food. If you know about the love of God in Jesus, you don't have to convince other people about it. You just have to tell them. He loves me. He loves you. Over and beyond and above any mistakes or other shortcomings in your life, Jesus loves you. And so what do we need to say to one another in witness? What do we need to say to one another across the globe or across the street? Jesus loves you. And what do we hope will happen? We hope they'll believe it. We hope they'll know. God loves me. Wow! That can define my life and my relationships, not only here in my home, but around the world. God loves me. Or as we sang this morning in the second verse of this great hymn that some of us didn't know very well, but Bill grabbed. Publish to every people, tongue, and nation that God in whom they live and move is love. Or a couple of weeks ago when Bill, thank you Bill, introduced a song about Lydia, after whom we named the cafe, and this verse existed again in that song that we didn't know, but we tried so hard to sing. When her friends moved from Philippi, they left believers blessed, and Lydia helped the church to grow as they their faith confessed. May we today our witness share, that other hearts be stirred. Let us take courage as we dare daily to live God's word. You are loved. Let's share it with the world. Thanks be to God.